服务员与聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年1月29日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到了来的 Chiran Prabhu 为我们继续来讲解《永恒的且甘愿经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare。Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 20. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatan Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth.
今天我们继续来阅读永恒的且甘愿经师且甘愿 Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第20章，主师且甘愿 Mahaprabhu 教导 Sanatan Goswami 有关绝对真理的科学。
So we are broadcasting from Sridhar Mayapur in India.
现在我们是在印度的 Sridhar Mayapur 给大家直播今天的早课。
It's 4:30 in the morning.
现在这里的时间是4:30。
And we are constantly thinking about all our brothers and sisters in China right now.
我们一直在想念着我们在中国的兄弟姐妹们。
Not just the devotees, but the Chinese people in general.
那不仅仅想念的是我们中国的奉献者，也想念的是所有的中国人。
And we are praying the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gonitai that all the misfortune of the disease spreading in China will go away very soon.
那么我们也向Sri Sri Gonitai真诚的祈祷，希望在中国的这个蔓延到全国的这个疫情能够很快的得到控制。
Of course, everything is an opportunity to become more Krishna conscious.
但是事实上，每一个机会呢，都可以帮助我们更多的具备 Krishna 知觉。
For the devotees, of course, it's definitely an opportunity to be more conscious of the fragility of the material body and the material world.
当然，对于奉献者来说，通过这几个事件，我们就可以更加的体会到我们物质的躯体和这个物质的世界是多么的脆弱。
And for the Chinese people in general, it's an opportunity to wake up to be a bit more aware of how sensible life is and to be more aware of the environment, to be more aware of one's own wellness.
那么对于全中国的人来说的话，通过了这个事件也能够更好的去感受到生命的脆弱和敏感，能够对这个环境的这个保护，对于生命本身有更多的关切。
Unfortunately, the Chinese devotees will not be able to come to Mayapur this year.
那非常不幸的就是这一次我们中国的奉献者不能来到Mayapur 了。
But we should take advantage of whatever time we have to dive more into Krishna consciousness.
但是我们可以更好的利用现在的这些时间，能够更深入、更沉浸到 Krishna 知觉之中。
So our service will be to be the link between Mayapur and the Chinese devotees.
所以呢，我们的服务就是把我们的在这个 Mayapur 和中国的奉献者连接在一起。
And to fill our hearts with transcendental knowledge.
让我们的心充满了超然的知识。
So this is the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
这就是。
And this is what he's sharing with Sanatana Goswami.
这也是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatana Goswami 分享。
We are going to continue from the last lecture.
我们继续上一课往下讲。
Which, is giving us an opportunity to understand what is transcendental knowledge.
那这给了我们一个对超然的知识深入理解的机会。
And knowledge is very important because, first of all, on the material level, people are always pushing for their children to get education.
那知识对所有的人来说都是非常重要的。从物质的这个层面，就想念着在中国的奉献者以及所有的中国人，也向高拉尼泰祈祷，希望这个中国的蔓延在全国的这个疫情能够尽快的得到控制。但是通过这样的一个机会呢，我们能够更深的感受到生命的脆弱。对于我们奉献者来说，我们能够更好的感觉到物质世界和这个物质躯体的这个脆弱，那么我们可以更好的、更深入的进入到这个 Krishna 智觉的休息之中。而对于其他的中国其他的中国人而言，他们也能够更深刻的感觉到这个生命是非常的敏感、非常的脆弱的，那么能够去更深的去感受到这个大自然和这个环境，以及我们人类跟大自然之间的这种关系，能够提高我们的这样的一种生命意识，这些都是非常的重要的。这是刚才Radha Chandra Prabhu 在早课最开始的时候给大家讲的。然后我们就开始了今天的玛迦丽拉的第二十章的这个主题是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Sanatana Goswami 有关绝对真理的科学。 Okay, I summarize what we said just now at the beginning of the class. Now we came into the class.
You speak about knowledge.
那么就是那个 Radha Chandra Prabhu 呢，他从这个知识开始讲。这个知识对于每一个人来说呢，都是非常的重要的。从物质的这个层面上而言，每一个人都在追求知识。父母对孩子总是怀着非常殷切的期望，希望孩子们能够得到更高的这个教育。那么有了好的教育之后，学业完成之后，也会有可能找到更好的工作。那么就更有可能在这个物质世界当中处在一个比较好的境况之中。
OK, so the emphasis that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving here is that it is very important to receive knowledge.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里就是强调了一点去接受知识是极其重要的。
Therefore, any devotee or anyone who isaspiring to understand spirituality must acquire knowledge.
所以每一个内心中怀着渴望的奉献者都应当去寻找知识，去询问知识。
And sometimes we hear devotees say that it's difficult to understand Prabhupada's books, it's difficult to understand Srimad Bhagavatam.
那有的时候我们会看到有一些奉献者说要去理解 Srila Prabhupada 的 Bhagavad Gita 国家梵歌和 Srimad Bhagavatam 圣典国家瓦坛实在是太难了。
But for example, if I want to begin to understand to read Chinese philosophy.
但是我举个例子，假如说现在要我去学习中国的哲学。
I couldn't find anything more complex than Chinese philosophy.
那我觉得好像找不到比中国哲学更加复杂的哲学了。
So, it's not that everybody should become a learned scholar.
所以说并不是说每一个人都必须要成为一个饱学的渊博的学者。
But we find thatWhat Srila Prabhupada has brought to the world is very systematic and very basic from the most preliminary understanding of what knowledge is all the way to the most sophisticated.
那我们可以看到 Srila Prabhupada 他所传递给我们的这个 知识的体系，一方面呢是就是非常的基础的，非常核心的，另外一方面它又是非常的有体系的，它所给予我们的这个知识从这个最基础的这一点开始，一直到最深奥的最高的部分都已经囊括了。
And as it is mentioned in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this transcendental knowledge is meant to remove all the doubts which are clogging the heart.
那么在这个圣典薄伽瓦它的开篇就说到，这样的这个超然知识就是为了要把我们内心当中的疑虑解除，要把阻塞了我们内心的这种障碍都清除干净。
So knowledge acts like a sword. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained knowledge is like a sword.
所以这个知识就好比是一把利剑一样，就像我们在普贤梵歌中所读到的这个比喻。
It cuts the doubts in the heart.
这个利剑它可以斩除我们内心中的疑惑之结。
And doubts are the doubt is the fruit of ignorance.
那一个人他为什么会感到困惑呢？那是因为无知愚昧所致。
And the fruit of ignorance is also fear.
那么从这个愚昧呢也会导致一个后果，就是恐惧。
So it's very importantFor anyone who wants to understand Krishna, to acquire knowledge.
所以说每一个想要去了解 Krishna 的人都应当去探寻知识。
And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting to Sanatan Goswami.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢就向 Sanatan Goswami 呈现了这一点。
In presenting the science of the absolute truth.
他向 Sanatan Goswami 展示了超然展示了绝对的真理，有关绝对真理的科学。
And we find that very soon in their conversation, the absolute truth becomes very clear.
然后我们可以看到随着他们这个对话的进展，很快的就可以非常的清晰的看到超然知识的出现。
Now it's not because we get to know who is and what is the absolute truth that we will getrealization instantly.
但是并不是说我们知道绝对真理是谁，绝对真理是什么，是怎样的，我们就立刻的能够有所觉悟。
The point is we are given the information.
最关键的是首先我们要获得的是有关绝对真理的讯息。
And that information constitutes knowledge.
这些讯息呢也就组合成了知识。
So, as we mentioned in a previous lecture, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is using a parable, he's using an example by giving the story of an astrologer.
那在前面的这个课当中呢，我们就是讲到了在这里 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他就以一种预言的这个方式做了一个类比。那他就谈到了有这样的一个非常博学的星象师。
Why an astrologer? Because astrologers by profession are supposed to know past, present and future.
那为什么他要举这个星象师为例呢？因为这个星象师他们的这个职业上，他们就是要就应当是非常通晓过去、现在和未来发生的事。
So anyone, whether they are poor or rich, if they go to an astrologer, they will be able to know about their destiny.
所以一个人不论贫富，只要是他去找到这样的一个星象师的话，他就能够对自己的未来有所了解。
So in this instance, the astrologer meets a poor man.
那在这个故事当中呢，就是讲到了这个星象师他遇到了一个一贫如洗的人。
And he's asking the poor man, why are you unhappy?
他就问这个穷人说呢，为什么你那么不快乐？
So you're not supposed to be unhappy because you have a very wealthy father.
你没有理由不开心，因为你的父亲非常的有钱。
The only problem is your father did not tell you where his wealth is situated.
这个只是问题就是在于你的父亲并没有告诉你他的这笔巨大的财富藏在哪里。
So this astrologer, in this case, is actually the super soul.
那么在这里呢，在这个 故事里面呢，这星象师就其实就是隐喻的是超灵。
Is Krishna within the heart guiding the living entities?
就是在内心中指导着生物体的 Krishna.
So, and this treasure is actually, the Vedic literatures.
那这笔财宝呢，就象征的是韦达经。
So the Vedic literatures are there to tell us who is Krishna.
那韦达的这个文献呢，就可以告诉我们 Krishna 是谁。
And Krishna is the actual entire wealth of this particular treasure.
那 Krishna 他就代表了所有的财富。
So now the astrologer has given a piece of information to the poor man.
那现在呢，这个星象师就把这个消息透露给了穷人。
And that information is, you have a wealthy father, and he has a treasure for you.
就告诉这个穷人，首先你有一个非常有钱的父亲，然后这个父亲呢，他其实给你留了这个财宝，这个财宝藏在某一个地方。
And Prabhupada has often given this example of a man who is loitering on the street without any aim, without any home, and then another man says, "Why are you on the street? Let me take you to your father."
那释迦牟尼也经常举这样的一个类比，就好比说有一个人他在街上漫无目的的流浪，那么他是无家可归的。然后呢，另外一个人就对他说：“你为什么不回家呢？我带你回家吧。”
So Prabhupada gives a very good verse from the Bhagavad Gita: "Vedaham samatita ni vartmani na ni charjuna bhavishyam." This is Krishna speaking in the 7th chapter where he says, I know everything that happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows.
那么这个是在要旨之中，释迦牟尼就引用了《薄伽梵歌》第七章第二十六十节。那么在这里就是说到 Arjuna, 我是至尊人格神首，我知晓过去、现在和未来发生的一切，我了解所有的生物体，但我却无人知晓。
So this is the position of the astrologer, knows past, present and future.
所以呢，这个星象师呢，他就是这样的，他对于过去、现在都未来以及未来都是了如指掌的。
But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that even though that poor man now has this information that he has a treasure, that knowledge alone is not enough.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 接着指出，虽然这个穷人他已经知道了有这样的一笔财宝在等待着他，但是光是知道有这么一笔财宝还不够，无济于事。
So similarly, devotees, when they come to Krishna consciousness, they receive so much information, but that information is not enough.
那就好比是奉献者走进了这个 Krishna 知觉之后呢，就了解了很多很多的讯息，但是仅凭着这样的一些讯息还是不够的。
And in the same way, we come in contact with so many people from the public, and we present Krishna consciousness to them, we give them a book, we give them some prasadam, we get people to chant, but that is not enough.
那同样的，我们在这个公开的场合接触到很多人，我们让他们有机会就是向他们派一些书，向他们去了解一些书中的知识，让他们有一些念诵唱诵仅仅是这样呢，还是不够的。
We have to make the effort to bring people closer to Krishna by following up.
那么我们还要用这种跟进的这种方式，能够让他们更接近 Krishna 的莲花座。
So we have to cultivate people.
我们就是说，我们要去培养这些人。
So and.It's the same in general. When one begins the spiritual life, we should not expect that they will understand everything, that they will know how to do everything.
那我们也要明白，就是 不是说一个人他接触到了灵性的知识之后自然而然的很快就会知晓一切，然后马上就能知道自己应该做些什么不应该做些什么，不是那么简单的。
And in many ways, there are a lot of people who actually have the knowledge that there is a treasure.
那事实上呢，很多人呢，他们是知道有这样的一大笔财宝的。
So now the astrologer is going to explain where to find that treasure.
那现在这个星象师呢，就要向这个穷人，让他知道，就是你应该到哪里去寻宝。
So they are.Four directions.
那这里呢，就是说到有四个方向。
North, west, south, and east.
啊，东南西北四个方向。
So he tells the poor man, if you dig in the south, then you will see only wasps and drones.
啊，然后呢，他就是说，如果你向南方挖的话，那么很快你就会看到很多的大黄蜂。
Wasp and drones, they're like bees that sting.
就是会蜇人的那些大黄蜂。
And he said that you will not find the treasure by doing this.
啊，就是如果你往南方挖的话，你是找不到宝藏的。
Now, if you dig in, mostly ghosts that will create disturbance.
啊，然后呢，如果说你向西方挖的话。那么你就会遇到很多的鬼魂，这些鬼魂呢会给你制造很多的麻烦。
And if you dig in the north, then you will find a black snake that will want to devour you, and you won't be able to get to your treasure.
啊，如果说往北挖的话呢，就会有一条大黑蛇在等待着你，甚至会把你吞噬掉。啊，那你也找不到什么财宝。
However, if you dig just a little bit of dirt out of the eastern side, your hands will immediately touch the treasure.
啊，但是呢，如果说你只是你向东边挖，哪怕就是在表面稍微挖上那么一点土的话，你的手很快就能够触碰到这个财宝，这罐财宝。
So this analogy is very interesting because.It shows that there is a tremendous amount of knowledge available in this world.
那这个比喻是非常有意思的，它有富有深意，意思就是说，在这个世界上呢，有大量的所谓的知识。
There's first of all, there is material knowledge which is based on experiment and observation.
首先是基于经验和观察而积累的这个物质的知识。
But for some people, this material knowledge is not enough.
但是对很多人来说，光是这些物质世俗的知识还不够。
So people they dig more to find about spiritual knowledge.
所以呢，很多人他们就更加的深挖进去，希望能够找到灵性的知识。
And they explore spiritual knowledge, trying to find their own personal identity and understand the nature of this world.
那他们呢，就不断的去。探索这个灵性的知识，希望能够对自我，对于这个世界有真正的理解。
So, to cultivate knowledge for material benefit, this is compared to being stung by the bees.
啊，那么这是出于这种物质的动机而去探索这个知识，这个就好比是被黄蜂蛰咬一样。
And to cultivate knowledge and speculate about one's identity, it's like meeting the ghost.
那这个关于这个自我，只是用一种思辨的这种方式去探索这个知识的话，那么这就好像是被鬼魂附体一样。
And to practice yoga meditation, trying to understand who we are, it's like being eaten by the black snake.
啊，那这个通过瑜伽的这个休息，试图去理解自我的真实身份，这也好像是被这条大黑蛇所吞噬一样。
But cultivating bhakti yoga, the process of devotional service, this is where the treasure is to be found.
但是如果你去培养 bhakti yoga 奉爱。 瑜伽有关于奉爱的这个知识的话，那么这就好比是真正的这个财宝在东方被你找到了。
And Prabhupada quotes a very famous verse from Bhagavad Gita.
在《佛家梵歌》中，那释迦牟尼佛就引用了一个非常重要的一个诗节。
Which in my reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, I found Prabhupada quoting this verse the most.
那么在我阅读圣典《佛家梵歌》的这个过程当中，我发现这是释迦牟尼佛最频繁。
In the Srimad
Bhagavatam. 在圣典《佛家瓦坛》当中，这也是释迦牟尼佛最频繁的引用的一个诗节。
Sarvasya charam ridhi sannivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarver aham eva vidya vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed,I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas.
我居于每一个人的心中，一切记忆、知识和遗忘都来自于我。通过所有的伟达经，就可以了解我。事实上，我既是 Vedanta 终极伟达经的编纂者，我也是所有伟达经典的知悉者。
So, Now the astrologer is revealing the fact that by digging in the east, then one will find that treasure.
那么现在的这个气象师他就揭示了这样的一个事实：如果说这个人他能够往东方去挖的话，就可以挖掘到这笔财宝。
And it's actually amazing that we don't have to work hard to spend all our life digging in all the other direction. We are given directly the position of the treasure by being told, don't waste your time, just dig in the east, don't dig anywhere else. You won't find anything else. Dig in the east and you will find your treasure.
那这里呢，其实就是说告诉我们一个道理，我们没有必要把这个生命耗费在漫无目的的挖掘上，我们没有必要去其他的这几个方向到处的去挖掘。我们只要把有限的这个生命都集中在东方，往这个东方去这个挖掘，也就是说奉爱服务的这个方向，我们就能够很快的找到我们的宝藏。
Because for some people cultivating knowledge, it's like an addiction.
因为其实对有一些人，很多人来说呢，去培养这个知识就好像是会上瘾一样。
It's just for the sake of having information and to know a lot of things, but their cultivation of knowledge and their knowing and their own personal lifestyle, it's two different things.
那这种试图变得无所不知，然后不断的去摄取各个方向的这种讯息，就会让人好像也上瘾一样。但是去获取的这些知识和这些讯息是一方面，但是一个人他的生活方式又是另外一方面，这样的人有可能在这两个方面是完全不相干的。
And this is why the process of Krishna consciousness is always presented on three levels.
这就是为什么 Krishna 知觉它总是在三个层面上呈现给我们。
First is to acquire the knowledge, the proper knowledge.
第一个呢，就是要去探寻知识，探寻正确的知识。
This is called sambandha.
这个就叫做 sambandha.
Once we have this knowledge, we put this knowledge into practice. This is called abhideya.
那当我们有了这样的知识，并且去付出实践的时候，这样的一种实际的运用就被称为 abhideya。
And the practice together with the knowledge will give us the ultimate result, which is pure love for Krishna, prayojana。
那么当我们这样去实践，也就是说去灵修，去实践这门灵性的知识，那么最后就会得到一个成果，对 Krishna 的爱，这个就叫 prayojana.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes another very important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么在这里, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他又引用了圣典佛家百谈中的一个非常重要的世界。
And this is Krishna himself speaking to Uddhava.
这是Krishna本人在对Uddhava说。
He says, Na sadhyati imam yogo na shankyam dharma Uddhava na svadhyaya stapatyago yata bhaktir mamorjitaha. Krishna says, My dear Uddhava, neither through Astanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal modism or analytical study of the Absolute Truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as devotional service unto me.
那在这里呢, Krishna 就对 Uddhava 说, 就是, 无论是 Astanga Yoga, 就是试图去控制感官的, 玄秘的瑜伽系统, 还是非人格的一元论, 还是对于绝对真理的分析性的研究, 还是伟达经典的研习, 还是这个, 苦行, 布施, 或者是接受sanyas弃绝, 都不能像培养对我的纯粹的奉爱服务那样让我满意。
So this is a very direct information given by Krishna.
这个是Krishna他所给予的一个非常直接了当的讯息。
And of course people may not be ready to understand this particular instruction.
当然了,人们可能对于这样的一个讯息还不能真正的有这个理解。
For some people, it takes a lifetime, it takes many lifetimes before they become exhausted trying to explore and trying to find.
那有很多人,他们可能不仅仅用了一生一世,得用无数生无数世,去不断地去探索所谓的知识,直到他们精疲力竭为止。
Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavam. After many, many, many millions of lifetimes, people are cultivating knowledge. Finally, they get to understand who I am. These persons are very rare.
那就是在Krishna他也在佛家梵歌当中曾经说过这样的一段话，经历了生生死死，无数的生世去培养各种各样的这个知识，那么。 最终当他们耗竭之后,能够来到我的这个跟前,这样的人是极其的罕见的。And
it's interesting because just by giving someone a Bhagavad Gita, just by giving someone the holy name, or giving someone prasadam, we can shorten to such a small amount of time all the work they've been trying to do until now, and then bring them to the ultimate result, which is Bhakti Yoga.
这是非常有意思的，我们只是给予一本书，或者是给予这个圣名，或者是一点菩萨的。如果我们为别人做了这么一点的话，其实就可以非常大的这个最大的这个程度去缩短它的这个历程，就能够让他在最短的这个时间当中就能够接近到绝对的真理。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this very nicely, that through the process of Bhakti Yoga, we become very quickly attached to Krishna. And this is available not just to people who are great yogis and great learned scholars, but it's available to the common people, even people who are the most fallen. Within a very short time, they can make progress on the path of Bhakti.
那么，那就很快就能够让这样的人能够接触到 Bhakti, 奉爱。 I went blank, sorry.
Said by just giving people an opportunity
就是通过我们给予别人这样的一个机会。
That it's not just a.
OK， 那就是说而且呢，这样的这个机会呢，是不仅仅是对那些瑜伽师来适用的 ，not only the yogi but also the ordinary， 就是一般的人，
yeah.
他们都有这样的一个机会，能够接触到这个绝对的这个真理，有关绝对真理的这个知识，能够通过奉爱瑜伽的这个途径去接近到 Krishna。
Yeah, so it's not just for people who are learned. It's not just for people who are very detached. This process of yoga, bhakti yoga, devotion to Krishna, is actually the nature of all living entities.
所以说呢，这个奉爱对 Krishna 的奉爱的这个服务，并不是只是适用于那些非常有学识的人。或者是修习神秘瑜伽的人，或者是苦行的那些人的这样的一种奉爱的本性，其实是所有的生物体的本性。
So devotional service, the practical activities that one performs to express their love and affection for Krishna, is the actual means to become Krishna conscious.
所以呢，奉爱服务这种去表达对 Krishna 的奉爱之情，去表达爱的，这种方式、这种程序、途径，就是说去培养出对 Krishna 的爱的这样的一个过程。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that when somebody becomes a wealthy person, automatically all kinds of problems are removed.
那Chaitanya Mahaprabhu呢继续说，当一个人获得了财富的时候，很自然的，很多的生活中的这个问题和烦恼也就迎刃而解了。
And Prabhupada gives this used to give this example very often. He said, if you have 1,000 RMB, then your 2 RMB problem.Your 100 RMB problem, your 500 RMB problem automatically solved.
那需要爸爸他也经常举这样的一个例子，就说如果你有1000块钱的话，那么你这个2块钱的问题、500块钱的问题、100块钱的问题，也自然而然的都解决了。
So if one is situated in the process of bhakti, then everything else is removed.In other words, repetition of birth and death is removed. Material miseries are removed.
那就是说，如果一个人他能够处在奉爱巴蒂之中的话，那么其他的所有这些物质问题自然而然也就迎刃而解了。那么也就没有了这个生老病死的这个往复，就是生老病死重复，也就。不会在这个重复生老病死了，那么物质存在的生命的这种痛苦呢，也会立刻的终止。
And even if within this material body a devotee is experiencing material misery, for the devotee it makes no difference whether one is in miserable condition or not, because the objective is to be Krishna conscious, not to be focused on one's material condition.
那即便是一个奉献者他还在这个物质的身体当中煎熬，但是对他来说，这些物质的由躯体而来的这些痛苦呢，也都是不那么的重要了，因为对他来说，生命的目的已经再也不是物质的，而是为了要达到这个 Krishna 对 Krishna 做奉爱服务。
So the real wealth is number one to have transcendental knowledge. Number two.Is to use that knowledge in practical ways to please Krishna.
所以呢，真正的生命的意义就是在于第一步要获得超然的知识，第二步就是说要把这个超然的知识运用到实际的生活之中，以实际的行动来取悦 Krishna.
And if we had any message for the Chinese people, is that instead of constantly increasing their material pleasures, if people could be a little bit more wise and cultivate knowledge, then they wouldn't face the tragedies that they are facing now.
那我们现在如果说对于中国人民有 一个忠告的话，那就是说希望他们不要再过度的去沉溺于这种物质的享乐和追求之中了。如果说能够拿出一些时间和精力去探寻这个真正的灵性和超然的知识的话，可能就不会像现在一样去遭受这种痛苦了。
People are trying to explore every possible sense, every possible ways of sense pleasure to the limit where they are prepared to risk their life just for a little bit of pleasure.
那么人们在这个追逐感官享乐上面几乎可以说是无计不施，无所不能，就是只是为了要达到一点点的感官享乐呢，就是不惜牺牲一切，甚至付出极大的这个冒险和代价。
And this way of life is actually going.
而这样的一种生活的这个方式，实际上是完全的背离中国的传统文化的。
So when people go to the extreme, not only to enjoy themselves, but to also endanger material nature, then automatically they get a kickback.
那当人们去做这样的为了感官享乐的这个无度的冒险的话，那不仅仅是在拿自己的生命做这个赌注，而且也给这个物质的自然带来了极大的危机，那么很自然的就会得到一个非常糟糕的这个下场。
So hopefully this episode of this virus in China will be a great lesson for people to become a bit more wise.
所以说希望呢，中国现在的这个疫情这个病毒的这个灾难呢，能够让我们中国人能够更加智慧一些，更加的睿智一些。
The goal of life is not to eat a lot of pig meat.
这个生命的目标并不是说吃很多的猪肉。
The goal of life is not to have millions and millions of RMB in the bank.
生命的目标不是在银行里面去累积无数的人民币。
The goal of life is to acquire from the right source about one spiritual identity and to develop this identity in this lifetime so we can end material miseries.
生命的目标呢，就是去探寻有关自我的灵性身份真相的知识，并且在这一生当中就去培养这样的一种灵性的身份，这种自我的认识，这样子呢才能够把这个物质的痛苦终止。
So, now the emphasis is on Vedic literature, and within Vedic literature, Krishna is the focal point, is the main object of research, of cultivating Vedic literature.
那在这里所说到的这个重点呢，就是韦达文献、韦达经典，而在这个就是伟大诸经当中，而 Krishna 他又是一个核心，就是所有的对伟大经典的研究都是指向 Krishna， 就是为了要去了解 Krishna 的。
And this is why the astrologer said you should dig in the east.
这就是为什么说这个星象师呢就跟这个穷人说你要往东方挖掘。
East means where the sun is rising.
这个所谓东方的意思就是说是太阳升起的地方，旭日东升的地方。
And Vedic literature and all the great sages are found in this tract of land which is known today as India. It was not India before, but this is the land where the Vedas were revealed.
那在这个地球的这个东方，也就是现在的印度的这个地区，当然之前古代是没有这样的一个单独的印度的这样的一个国家的，那在这样的这个东方呢就可以找到伟大文献，找到这个就是圣人，可以找到圣人的这个足迹。
This is where the Vedas were explained. This is where the Bhagavad Gita is spoken. This is where the Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken.
那这个圣典国家梵歌、国家瓦坛都是在东方这片土地上来述说的。那所有的这个伟达文献、伟达经典也是在东方揭示的。
And in the Vedic literature, there are so many different topics which are being discussed.
在伟达文献中探讨了无数的主题。
And it's very, very difficult to actually understand what is the best way to go.
那么要了解究竟哪一条是最佳的这个途径也是不太容易的。
So all the great sages, including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are pointing that within the Vedic literature, Krishna is the central point of attraction.
那所有的这个圣人包括 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 也都明确地指出在浩如烟海的伟达文献当中 Krishna 他是中心他是吸引的核心
And the central point of that is Krishna means Krishna's service.
那么这个核心是什么呢就是对 Krishna 的服务
You don't just stand in front of Krishna, you serve Krishna.
你不是说只是干站在 Krishna 的面前你是要去服务 Krishna 的。
You cannot say, I have now, I finally have found Krishna. Finding Krishna is to serve Krishna.
你不能说我现在终于找到 Krishna, 什么叫找到 Krishna? 找到 Krishna 其实就是等同于对 Krishna 做奉爱服务。
So the real wealth,When we dig in the east, the real wealth is to find the treasure of the Vedas, and within the Vedas is to find Krishna, and once we find Krishna, is to serve Krishna.
所以说呢，就是往东方去这个挖宝，那找到的这个宝就是伟达文献，伟达诸经。在所有的伟达的文献当中，这个核心要义就是 Krishna， 而找到这个 Krishna 就意味着去服务 Krishna。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, only when you have found Krishna and you begin to serve Krishna, only then the attachment to material energy will be broken.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说，只有你找到了 Krishna， 并且依附于对 Krishna 的奉爱服务的时候。这种物质依附的这个锁链呢，才能被打断。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that there are many different topics which are discussed within the Vedic literatures.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 听说呢，在这个伟达文献当中谈论了各种各样的主题。
And these informations that are given, they appeal to certain living entities.
这些信息呢，对应的也会吸引一定的。生物体
Because everybody needs some sort of information to be in this material world.
因为所有的生物体要生存在这个物质世界上的话，它必须要有相应的知识。
But ultimately, in the Vedas, Krishna is the person to find.
但是从终极而言的话，通过伟达诸经、伟达这个文献，终极而言。要去寻找的人就是 Krishna.
So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes from many different sources of the Vedic literatures to prove his point.
那接下来呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就引用了很多的伟达经典来证明他的这个结论。
So he quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam again. This is very important to understand here because we need to understand what actually Vedic literature means.
那在这里呢，解开念马哈法布他又引用了圣典国家瓦坛，就是我们要知道很重要的一点，就是我们要知道在这里所说的伟达文献究竟指的是什么。
So this is Krishna personally explaining about his own literature, what he has created, which is called the Vedas. He talks about it himself.
那在这里呢，我们就是看到是主 Krishna 本人他在。就是解析他所创造的这个伟达经典、伟达文献，因为伟达经，是 Krishna 创造出来的，他等于是现在就是在对他的这个创造物进行一个阐释。
So he says, Krishna says, what is the purpose of all Vedic literatures?
Krishna 他就说呢，这个所有的伟达文献的 宗旨是什么。
On whom do they focus?
他们的关注的核心是什么。
Who is the object of all speculation?
所有的这个思辨的对象是什么。
Outside of me, no one knows these things.
除我之外，无人知晓。
And then he says, now you should know that all these activities are aimed at ordinary and setting forth me.
Ordaining. 那现在呢，你就应该要知道所有的这些活动，其实只是出于一个目标，这个目标呢，就是我。
The purpose of Vedic literature is to know me by different speculations, either indirect understanding or by dictionary understanding. Everyone is speculating about me. The essence of all Vedic literature is to distinguish me from Maya. By considering the illusory energy, one comes to the place.Becomes free from speculation.About the Vedas comes to me as the conclusion. Thus, one is satisfied.
这里就是说到了伟达文献的目标呢，就是通过各种各样的思辨，包括间接的理解以及直接的这个理解来知悉我所有。都在思辨，对我思辨。所有的伟达文献的精髓，就是在于去，分辨我和玛雅，就虚幻能量。通过对我的虚幻能量的思考，人就能够达到理解我的层面。就这样，他能够。摆脱有关于伟达文献的种种思辨，来到我的跟前，知晓我就是终极的结论，这样他才能够满足。
OK，
这样他才能心满意足。
So it's interesting because at the beginning the astrologer says, "Don't dig in the south, don't dig in the north, don't dig in the west, because you're going to waste your time."
这是很有意思的，就是这个星象师他在一开始就是说到，你不要往南挖，也不要往北挖，也不要往西挖，那这几个方向都是在浪费时间。
Then he says, dig in the east, you'll find your treasure.
然后他接着就明确的指出说，如果你往东挖的话，你就可以轻而易举的找到这个宝藏。
But even within the treasure, it's not easy to understand what is the nature of.That treasure.
但是呢，就算是你找到了这个宝藏的话，可能要了解这个宝藏的这个本质的话，可能也不是那么容易的。
Just like sometimes people they get an inheritance, so they think, "Wow, I have gained so much money in such a short time." Or sometimes people they win at the lottery, instantly they become multimillionaire, but then they become miserable like anything.
就好像有些人呢，他就是短时间内。他不费吹灰之力的就继承了一大笔遗产，或者说呢，有一些人他就是赢了这个彩票，中了头奖，所以说是在很短的这个时间里，可以说就是一夜暴富。但是这样的人虽然赢得了那么多的财富，但是呢，在这个生活上呢，却是悲惨的一败涂地。
So the first, part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presentation is to establish Krishna within the Vedas.
所以在这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个他的这个呈现之中，他的讲的话之中，就是首先他要呈现的是伟达文献，并且呢明确的指出 Krishna 他是所有的伟达文献的核心。
So that we are very clear.Who is the main and only focus in our research and in our understanding of the knowledge that we are receiving? So there is no mistake.
所以呢，就是说，他要明确的，就是澄清这一点，在我们所有的对于知识的这个研究当中，终极来说，就是要指向这个 Krishna， 要了解 Krishna， 所以在这一点呢，不要有任何其他的误解。
Once this is established, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will begin to explore the personality of Krishna in every possible detail.
然后呢，当明确了这一点，知道就是 Krishna 他是伟大人现所有的知识的核心的之后，那么就是 Krishna 他就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他要从各种各样的这个角度去确证 Krishna 就是至尊人格首身，他要从不同的这个细节去说明这个人格性。
And then we will discover all the different opulences, all the qualities of Krishna.
然后呢，就要去探索了解到这个 Krishna 的所有的富裕。以及他的品质。
Because ultimately, everything which is being discussed, everything which is being recorded, everything which is being written, it's always directly related to Krishna and nothing else.
因为实际上迄今为止，无论我们谈论的是什么，我们记录下的是什么，我们录就是。就是成为这个文字所记录下来的这个一切，实际上都是直接的和 Krishna 有关的。
And this is what, for example, Srila Prabhupada was very expert in doing, is to engage every possible thing from this material world in Krishna's service.
那 Srila Prabhupada 这一生的使命就是说要尽可能的把所有的能接触到的这些物质的这个事物都转换成为对 Krishna 的奉献服务。
Because in this human form of life, to be engaged in devotional service is the most amazing achievement that one can get.
所以说呢，当一个人获得了人的这个形体呢，如果能够拿这个人生来为 Krishna 做奉献服务，可以说就是这个人的生命的最大的成就了。
Okay, so we'll stop here.
好，我们就先讲到这里。
What's this?
我们来看一下大家有没有什么问题，现在可以发上来。
There is a question.
Sumuti Radha Mataji 首先问了一个问题：感恩帕布和 Mataji 从圣地传来的甜美甘露。请问既然哲学思辨的目的是 Krishna， 为什么纯粹奉爱服务强调要摒弃哲学思辨呢？哲学思辨和心智推敲有什么样的区别呢？请您揭示。Thank you very much to delivering the nectar from the Holy Dham, my book. You just mentioned in your class that the philosophical speculation, the purpose of this philosophical speculation is to know Krishna. So why when we talked about the pure devotional service, we emphasize a lot to give up philosophical speculation. What's the difference between the philosophical speculation and mental speculation? Any differences? Please instruct us.
Philosophical speculation and mental speculation are exactly the same.
这个哲学思辨其实就是我们通常所说的心智推敲。
Because speculation means that you rely on the mind.
那因为什么叫做心智推敲？那也有翻译成为心智思辨的意思，就是说呢，你只是去依赖自己的心智、自己的思维、思想这些东西。
But also speculation based on the activities of the mind is also based on doubts.
那么你基于你的这个心智的种种的这种臆测、断想、这些思辨，实际上它也是建立在一个怀疑论的基础上。
And also mental speculation or philosophical speculation is a way of expressing one's unwillingness to actually know the truth.
其实如果一个人他只是沉浸在自己的心智推敲或者是哲学思辨上呢，实际上也就说明了 他不愿意去接受绝对的真理。Unwillingness to accept absolute truth.
Yeah.
就是他就是不愿意，不能心甘情愿的去直接的去接受绝对真理的存在。
Like sometimes people are presented the clear fact about the absolute truth, but and they see there's nothing to speculate, there's nothing to argue. But no, they say no, there has to be something else.
就好像有一些人，他们可以直接的去呈现啊，这个绝对的真理是这样的，这个事实是如此的，其实是没有什么可去争辩的，或者是说去思辨、去辩论的。但是呢，他还是觉得不过瘾，他还是得要去绕着这个弯子，总是想着还有一些别的东西，他不能特别直接的就接受，其实这个绝对的真理就是这么简单的。
Okay.
We said that the purpose of the philosophical speculation is to know about Krishna. Philosophical studies, but actually the ultimate goal is Krishna, but they don't know, right? They are trying to find the Krishna in their mind?
No. People oftentimes they actually know, but they are not prepared to accept. So they would rather speculate.
就是我刚才问的问题是就是说有很多人他们其实也在研究哲学什么的，那么这些哲学的这个终极的这个目标是其实都是指向 Krishna 的，但是是不是他们并不知道呢？他们在一种无知的这种状态之中呢？那 Prabhu 的回答就是说，其实他们潜意识里是知道的，知道其实终极就是 Krishna， 但是他们就是To know God, right? They know God is the ultimate. 他们知道这个神是终极的，但是他们其实心里面又不愿意去接受。So they like to enjoy this process.
It's an enjoyment.
所以说，对于这些哲学的思辨者来说的话，其实这种心智的推敲，心智的思辨辩论这些，实际上是他的一种感官享乐，他沉溺于这样的一种感官享乐。Now the next is a question from a new person, new devotee. 转发新人提问，请问帕布规范休息中有一些 Vaishnava 礼仪真的是那么重要吗？比如清晨的沐浴，大便后一定要沐浴，否则不应该给神像做饭，这些规定不是很麻烦吗？对于念诵和服务有什么重要的影响吗？我觉得自己处在愚昧形态中，很难理解经典，还要继续看书吗？There are a lot of recommended rules and regulations in Vaishnava etiquette. Are they really that important? For example, that you have to take a bath after getting up in the morning, and you have to take a bath again after.Past dues, otherwise you can't cook for the deities. All these regulations, don't they seem to be very troublesome, very too complicated? What kind of affection will all these rules have on chantings and service? How do they influence our chantings and service? I always feel that.I am in the mode of ignorance, therefore it's not easy for me to understand scriptures. Even I feel it's difficult to understand scriptures, should I still continue reading?
There are two things here. One is the scriptures and the other one is the practice.
这里有两个方面，一个就是说是经典，还有一个是你的灵修实践。
And yes, Krishna consciousness is not affected by the modes of nature.
的确是 Krishna 知觉本身是不受这个物质形态的影响的。
Just like sometimes if you want to walk out of the street onto a lab.
Walk out of the street onto a lab.
Yes.
Can you speak a little bit more?
Like if you want to walk out of the street into an operating table. into a hospital and you go into the surgery table.
就好像是你走到这个大街上，然后你要进入一个实验室，或者是进入到一个医院的手术台、操作台。
You won't be allowed into the room.
你是不就是不能随便的就允许你随便的进入到这个手术。
Because you need a special uniform, you need to be disinfected, you need to be very clean.
就是说你不能随便的从大街上。随便的去走进这样的一个手术室，你必须要穿上一定的这个防护服，这个医生的这个防护服，然后手术人员所穿的这种制服，然后而且呢，必须要非常的洁净，你才能够进入。
So Krishna is extremely pure.
那 Krishna 是绝对的纯粹的。
To be with Krishna, we also need to be pure.
就是当我们和 Krishna 在一起的时候，我们也必须要净化自己，要纯粹。
We can't bring Krishna consciousness down to our own level of consciousness.
我们不能把 Krishna 直接拽下来，拽到和我们的意识同样的一个层面上去理解。
So we have to begin with the platform of goodness.
所以说呢，我们就要从这个善良形态，开始作为一个起点。
Not ignorance, not passion, but goodness.
就是愚昧形态和激情形态都不行，你要从这个善良形态的这个层面开始去接近 Krishna.
And goodness means cleanliness.
那么什么叫做善良形态呢？善良形态的意味着就是说。善良形态就是意味着要洁净。
Internal cleanliness, external cleanliness.
这里包括内在的洁净和外在的洁净。
Just like there are people in China who dress very, very nicely and look perfect externally, but actually they never take bath.
这就好像在中国呢，很多人穿得非常光鲜亮丽的，那外表看起来又干净又好看，但是其实他从来是不洗澡的。Okay, can I continue with this? It's related to taking a bath. 刚才还有后面接下来这个新人问的一小段话，我再读一下。我每天洗不洗澡 ，Krishna 不都在我心中吗？不能因为我不洗澡，他就离开我，他就在我心里很近，这样理解对吗？我就真诚告诉 Krishna， 我不想天天洗澡，菩提拉克。阿姨说你太执着于外相了，你是谁？你的职责是什么？凡事不要过度，你把时间浪费在外向，不如去实际干些什么。大便完洗澡，家人说魔怔了吧。He said, if I don't take a bath every day, does that mean Krishna is not in my heart? Krishna won't leave me simply because I don't like to take a bath. He is always in my heart. He is very close to me.Is that right? Is that the right understanding? I just want to tell Krishna honestly, I don't want to take a bath every day, and I don't want to put tilak on every day. It's too complicated. 阿姨说你太执着于外向了。My aunt said that you are too attached to the external things. So what is your...responsibilities. Whatever you do, don't go extreme. Don't waste time on the external things. You should do something practical. And the family said that if you take a bath after passing stools, that's very strange. Are you 魔怔了？就是说 ，Are you haunted by ghosts or something? Are you possessed?That you're doing things like this, it is too extreme. So he is adding something.
Krishna is within the heart of even the worms that are sitting inside the stool.
就算是在这个粪便中的蛆虫，这个 Krishna 也在他的心中。
Krishna is within the heart of every single living entities in this universe.
Krishna, 他是在这个宇宙当中的所有的生物体心中。
He's not going to leave any living entities alone.
他是不会离开任何 一种生物体的。
So if we want to live like a worm, that's okay. We can live like a worm, but we should not expect to also become Krishna conscious.
那如果说我们想像大便里的蛆虫那样生活，那也可以，没人会阻止你。但是我们不要一边这样生活，然后一边又期望着我要获得 Krishna 知觉。
So if somebody wants to be Krishna conscious, they have to have a life in goodness.
所以说，如果一个人他想真正的达到 Krishna 知觉的话，他得有一种善良形态的生活方式。
And the body not being clean, that's not goodness, that's ignorance.
这个身体的这个不洁净呢，它是一种愚昧形态的表现。
Now it's not,
这个就不是善良形态。
It's not going to stop anyone from chanting Hare Krishna or reading Prabhupada's books.
但你这个身体不洁净的话，当然也不会说就会阻止这个人，这个人就读不了Prabhupada的经典，也念诵不了了。这也不是，也不是这样的，就他还是可以。
And if you want to take a shower only once every 2 weeks, you are welcome to do so.
那如果说，那也随便。
But you will see that your consciousness will not be as elevated as if you kept your body clean.
但是你可以做一个比较，如果说能够保持这个身体的每天的这个洁净的话，你的意识状态是不一样的。你两星期才洗一次澡，你的这种意识知觉和你天天保持这种内外的这个洁净，这是完全不同的。
Now we also have to be very careful about how we are being trained.
另外一点呢，就是说我们是怎么这个，就是接受训练的，这一点也是要非常的小心的。
Because there are some aspects of cleanliness.Which are compulsory for those who worship in the temple.
因为有一些这个关于洁净的这些原则呢，是对那些在庙里面进行神像崇拜的人所适用的，特别适用的。
Where you cannot worship the deities in an unclean state.
就是说如果你不干净的话，你是不能够去崇拜神像。
You can't even chant Hare Krishna in an unclean state.
如果说你这个很不干净的话，有这个很脏的话，那你也是不能念诵 Hare Krishna 的。
But when you live in an apartment in the middle of the city somewhere in China,
如果说我们是生活在中国，在中国的一个普通的一个公寓楼里边，那你并不是生活在这个庙里，在庙里面要去服务的。
However, one should take a shower once a day.
That's right.
One should take a shower once a day.
就是每一个人每天都应当要去沐浴至少一次。
If we want to serve Krishna, we have to serve Krishna in a clean condition, not in a dirty condition.
那如果说我们真心的想要去服务 Krishna 的话，那就应当要把自己弄干净了。不能是很脏的就去服务 Krishna。
We don't have to be extreme。
我们一方面呢，不用过于的极端。
We don't have to be fanatic。
我们也不用的过于的这个狂热教条。
But we cannot be clean internally unless we begin to
净化是从外在的净化开始的。如果说外在不洁净的话，内在也极难做到洁净。
Okay, I'm done with this.
好，这个问题就回答到这里。还有问题吗 ？Smoothy Radha Mataji.
That's it. You covered all this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's all.
Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you, Smoothy Radhaji.
好，那我们的今天的讲课就到这里。
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees for listening patiently.
感谢所有奉献者的耐心的聆听。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sanatan Goswami ki jai, Kasha Desh Yatra ki jai, Go Premanande Hari Hari Go.
Vaikuntha 之音服务员一聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的 Chaitanya 之音师 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束。我们现在讲到的是Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第二十章，主是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导 Sanatana Goswami 有关绝对真理的科学。我们下周同一时间星期三早上再见。 Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna。